Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our 2021 Family Weekend. We're so excited to be back on campus and to welcome all of our parents and families. Welcome to the Money Matters session. I am joined by some of my colleagues from various offices across campus, including the Office of Financial Aid and Scholarships with Jennifer Wickham, Casey Bosley from our Student Accounts Office. We have Karen Trask from Dining, and we also have Shakima Clancy from the Dean of Students Office. So they're going to share with you a little bit about various aspects of finances here on campus and how to help support your students. So we'll begin with Casey and her presentation.
Hi everyone, I am Casey Bosley. I am the Bursar Account Services Manager. The role of our office is the central billing office on campus. We will bill everything from tuition, your housing, your meal plan, gym memberships, anything that basically you can bill on campus can come through our office. Just to kind of gauge the audience, how many of you are returning families? So we're all new students here? Awesome, congratulations and welcome. For the Bursar office, we have two separate accounts. We have the Bursar account, which can hold your tuition, housing, meal plan, health insurance, health fees, and then we also have the Cornell card part of our statement, which we'll discuss a little bit later. All of that is billed through CashNet, which is our online billing portal. It's important, especially as parents, that you get access to this. It is not automatically granted to you. Your students will actually set you up for this system. At this point, if they've already accepted into Cornell, they can go ahead and do that as long as they have a NetAD active. For billing, we bill for that the same time every single year. So for the fall, we bill for that in July, and it's always due by August 7th. So keep that in your head for fall, August 7th. And then for spring, we bill for that the second Friday in January, and that is due by February 7th. Do we have spring admits in here? Is that what everyone is? Can you raise your hand? Are we looking at spring or are we looking at fall? Fall? Great. So, calendar, August 7th, due date for the bill. Okay, on your statement, you'll also see your financial aid credits. They will show as pending on that July statement, and then the bottom line will show you how much you actually owe. There are late fees if you pay after the due date. They're 1.25% based on whatever that outstanding amount is. So again, August 7th. Just throwing that out there one more time. Here are the billing dates currently. I'm just gonna kind of skip by these because we're all coming in for fall, so they're not relevant. But just to kind of give you an idea, the due date is always the 7th, so that never changes. The way we bill is the second Friday, and then the due date is always the following month on the 7th. For registration, balances are required to be paid, so tuition and fees, by the due date of the major bill. You can find these on the billing deadlines. We'll be updating them probably in a couple months for fall 2022. Here's what CashNet looks like. Again, parents, you want to make sure that your students give you access to that if they are kind of relying on you to help them pay that bill. What they'll do to do that is they'll click on My Account and then they'll be able to send a payer invitation there. The only thing that they need is your name and your email address. If you have an AOL email, please keep in mind that AOL has a tendency of blocking everyone. So be sure to add anything that's Bursar to your favorites so that way it doesn't end up in your spam or your clutter. CashNet will allow you to see your balances. It allows you to set up a payment plan if you need to break your payments up kind of throughout the course of the semester. And you'll also be able to make your payment through here as well. One additional thing is we have our tax statements on here. So when your student is setting you up as an authorized payer, make sure that they check that box to allow you to see tax statements. So that way when the 1098-T comes out, which comes out the end of January of each year, you can actually receive that instead of having to rely on your student to get you that information. Here's what the CashNet invoice looks like. So this is a good example of what you'll see in the fall semester in July. So this shows your tuition, the activity fee, health insurance, housing, meal plan, and on this one it also has the pending financial aid as well. So on here we can see that this student in particular had that balance of the $11,997 that they were going to be responsible before for August 7th. For payments, you can use obviously your financial aid if you're eligible for any. And then for the remainder, you can make a payment online through that CashNet system using a U.S. checking or savings account, so you would need your account number and routing number. You can use an eligible 529, so there are some that are accepted through CashNet. If you're trying to pay with your 529 and you don't see it come up, then you'll want to contact your 529 plan administrator and ask them to send Cornell a check. If you do that, though, just make sure that you give them your student's 7-digit ID number, which is located on the e-bill, so that way we know where to place those funds once we receive them in the office. If you need to break up that sum, so say you do have $12,000 that's still outstanding and you want to break it up over the course of 5 months throughout that semester, we do offer the CashNet installment plan. To do that, you would just click on that prior page where it says enroll in a payment plan. There is a enrollment fee to do that. For this academic year, it was $125. I regret to inform you that typically it does go up each year. Sorry. So next fall, it probably will be higher. But the plan allows you to split it between August to December in even installments, and there's no interest to use the plan. So it's just the enrollment fee. You can pay with that plan with a U.S. checking savings account, an eligible 529, or you can also use a credit card if you're really trying for your miles. But just to throw that out there, there is a convenience fee that is assessed and retained by CashNet. So for domestic payments, it's 2.75%. And then for international cards, it's 4.25%. So just think about that ahead of time. If you need to do a wire transfer, so say you have a brokerage account or something like that, and you prefer to do a wire versus a check, then you can use Flywire. You'll book your payment and then basically give your broker or your bank the wire details, and they'll make that payment on your behalf. We also do accept personal checks or cashier checks in the office. If you decide you want to do that, just make sure that that check is made payable to Cornell University. Again, include your student's 7-digit ID number somewhere on that check so we know where the funds are supposed to go. And then you can mail that to our office, which is at 260 Day Hall. You're also welcome, if you're in the area, to drop it off. For student refunds, so say you are lucky enough to get enough financial aid that it covers your bill, and maybe even a little bit of extra, or you've overpaid for the semester and you need a refund, students can get refunds in two ways, either via direct deposit into a preferred U.S. checking or savings account, or via paper check. Paper checks are made payable to the student only, so any checks will be made payable in their name, and they will arrive in our office 7 to 10 days after that paper check is cut. They are not automatically mailed, so the student actually has to come in and pick it up, or they need to email us if it has to be mailed. Direct deposit is much, much quicker. I encourage every single student to enroll in that. It makes it much easier for you and us and your parents. So that takes only 2 to 3 business days after a refund is generated, and it goes directly into your preferred account. We also have the elective tuition refund plan. So this is also known as the tuition insurance plan. The deadline for spring 2022 is going to be January 24th. Being that you guys are coming in for fall 2022, it's going to be the first day of classes. So I imagine it's probably like late August sometime, but just know day before the first day of instruction, if you want to enroll in this, you'll want to make sure that you have it set up by that point because the deadline is first day of class. For this year, it was $193 per semester or $386 for the academic year. Again, unfortunately, fees do go up each year, so I expect that this will go up a little bit as well. What this allows is if your student has to take, for example, a health leave of absence, so it's specific to health leaves, so not a personal leave or a voluntary, but a health leave. If they have to take a leave at the very end of the semester, where tuition liability would be normally 100%, you can submit this claim showing that they had to take a health leave and get 85% of the tuition back. It does not impact dining, housing, or health, but it will at least give you some compensation back for the tuition piece of it. So that can be very helpful, especially if you are a family that pays everything out of pocket. And if you're not sure if you want it for the full year, you can purchase it per semester. Lastly, we'll just talk about the Cornell Card program. The Cornell Card is a program that's tied to the student's ID card, and it allows them to purchase items on campus, specifically like their textbooks and stuff, at the Cornell store. They can show the cashier their card, and they'll swipe it against it. What that ends up doing is it charges that amount to the CashNet system the following month, and you'll see it on your e-bill, and you'll have to pay it at that point. There is a $10 per semester participation fee to utilize the card, and there's a $1,500 purchase limit, but it is very handy for our students, especially because they always have their ID card with them. So if they need to purchase, say, textbooks or pencils or supplies or something like that in between classes because they forgot it or didn't have it, they can just simply do that and they don't have to carry around their debit or credit cards and accidentally possibly lose them. For questions, you can contact us at bursar@cornell.edu. We also have phones Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then 2 to 4 p.m. at 607-255-2336. Additionally, your student can set up an appointment through Student Essentials for the Cornell Chatter. They'll just want to select Bursar, and then they can pick what they're trying to ask questions for and the time that meets your schedule. As parents, you can't set up the appointment, but your student can certainly do it, and then you can participate along with them. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Wickham, and I am in the financial aid office. I'm assuming that you were all here possibly in August. If not, welcome to campus. I know we didn't have a chance to meet any of you during the application process last year, so if you need us, I'll just start by saying come to the office, give us a call, get in touch with us. So I made a few assumptions here, right? During the admissions process is when you would have completed the financial aid applications for this year. If for some reason you did not, or your circumstances have changed and you do need aid at this point, first let me tell you to please complete the application, contact our office, let us know what's going on, what's changed. There is a good chance we can still provide aid for you this year. By the same token, if your situation has changed in the last year, I know the last couple of years have been very volatile in a lot of households, where when we do aid, if you have not applied, you would have applied using 2019 information. The world has changed a lot between 2019 and 2021, and we recognize that. So if your situation has changed, you can appeal. We just need to know what's going on, what has changed, and we are happy to reevaluate and see if we can't assist you in applying, getting some additional aid. The things that we can look at are going to be things like loss of employment, decrease in income, if there's been a major life event, a parent, heaven forbid, has passed away. Those types of things are the things that we can look at in determining if we can award additional aid for you and your child. So one of the many things our office takes care of is loans. So students who were awarded aid from our office very well may have had loans in their initial financial aid package. We're finding now, as Casey was talking about the bills being due, often some of the aid will fall off in October. If any of you are in that situation and there was a loan there and it suddenly disappeared, it could be that your child hasn't done the proper steps to allow that loan to pay. And there's three things that need to be completed. One is going to be they have to accept the loan. Then they have to complete two documents. For the federal loans, they're all electronic, but they're at the student loan site at the federal government. They need to do a master promissory note. So you know that's their signature on their loan documents saying they will repay the loans. And the second document they need to complete is called an entrance counseling session. And what that does is educate them on what a loan is. We want to make sure they understand they have to repay this money that they're getting. It is not free money. So that's the federal side. We also award institutional loans to our students. There is the equivalent documents that have to be completed. They come from a third party called ECSI Heartland. The student will get an email from them with specific instructions as to what needs to be completed to let that university loan pay. So those are both loans that are in the student name. Often about this time, families are realizing that they might need more help beyond aid to help pay for their bills. So there is a loan from the federal government that parents can take out that is called a Parent Plus loan. That loan, there's a link on the financial aid website for parents to get to that application. The other option would be alternative student loans, which are student loans from an outside financial supplier, a bank or a credit union. Those loans would be in your child's name. Again, all of those loans go through our office. We would certify them, let the lender know that the student's eligible for those funds, and they are there. So if you have questions about those, please, again, reach out and let us know, and we'll be happy to help with those kind of questions. So we can also often award students additional loan from what was in their financial aid package. All of our incoming students, for the most part, have what's called a student contribution. That's an expectation that they were supposed to earn over the summer. We can loan them those funds if they were unable to earn them, if they worked and couldn't save it, whatever happened. We can give them, as a freshman, it would be $2,700. And then the upper class contribution is $3,300. So we can do that type of loan. We can also give loans to help with additional educational expenses. If there are course fees, if there is a health insurance charge that is you could not waive the institutional health insurance, we can provide a loan for that. We can provide loans for computers. A student can borrow for a computer every 2 years if they need to. Again, there's a document on our website. It's the undergraduate student appeal form. They just need to complete that and submit it. With some things may require documentation. And that's all outlined on the form, what we would need. Please, if you have questions, again, contact us or have your children contact us, your students contact us. And we're happy to go through with them and let them know what they can borrow from our office to help with their bills. Outside scholarships, they also go through our office. So we're the clearinghouse for any kind of aid, anything other than a 529 or a cash payment. Anything else is going to come through our office. So it could be an outside scholarship from a local community. It could be a tuition benefit from your employers. They all go through our office. If your child is receiving veterans benefits, they go through our office. Whether you are an aid recipient or not, these items need to go through the financial aid office. So just be sure that your student either sends us the letter to let us know that it's coming, or just send the check to us. There's an address on the website where the checks should be sent. And then what happens if you're an aided student and we get outside scholarship funds or a tuition benefit, it's going to help the student. It is going to replace loans and work that the student was initially awarded in their package. It will not go into the family contribution. That is the one thing that typically, unless your child has lots of aid and all the other aid has been removed, then it possibly might, but that doesn't happen very often. Student employment, that's another leg that our office handles. So students who are packaged with aid, for the most part, will have a work component in their financial aid award. It may be federal work study, or it might be what we call employment earnings. Federal work study is a federal subsidize the wages for students. Not everybody qualifies. Employment earnings just means the student needs to get a job to earn those funds. What you should know and what the students should know is that typically there are between 8,000 and 9,000 student jobs on campus. Only about a third of those jobs require work study. So if you know a student who wants to work on campus, whether they are aided or not, there are plenty of jobs out there for them to apply for. As long as they have the qualifiers, they can apply for the jobs. Just to put in context, our financial aid award would contain $2,600 of work a year, $1,300 a semester. That typically represents 8 to 10 hours of work a week. So we are not expecting a lot out of our students. And then if you're aided, those funds, those work funds, go directly to the students. Every 2 weeks they get a paycheck. It is at their discretion what happens with those funds. I always suggest that a student talk to their parents about what the expectation of those funds are going forward. A couple other things our office handles. Shakima will get into this a little bit more in detail. We do handle a couple of emergency funds on campus for students that have had things come up totally unexpected. One is the Cornell Emergency Fund. The application is on the front page of the website. That's looking at, again, things you didn't expect. Could be medical. Could be a student needs transportation due to a death in the family. Those types of things are what we're looking at when we talk about emergency funding. We do those. We're there to help support students. If they have questions about what's going on with their aid, please have them reach out to us. We need contact with them. We want them to understand what's happening with their financial aid. Next year, if you're interested, so 22-23, we have already started the financial aid application for 22-23. As a continuing student, which your students will be, all we need to begin with is the 22-23 FAFSA. That opened October 1st. My suggestion to families is over winter break, you should have a student captive for at least a week. Sit down, take care of it, get it done. If we need more forms, we will reach out to your student and let them know what other additional information is needed. If your family situation stays similar year to year, your aid should stay similar year to year. We are in 5 days a week. We have counselors in every day to see students. As Casey said, Chatter, they can set up virtual appointments with us or in-person appointments. We are happy to talk to parents. Just reach out and find us. We can't help you if you guys don't let us know what you need. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. I'm Karen Trask. I am the meal plan coordinator, which means I manage all student dining contracts as well as all employee dining contracts. How many out here currently have a student here? Oh, wow. Yay. How many of you have eaten on campus yet? Yay. For all those who haven't, please do visit one of our dining halls on campus before you leave. Here we go. Maybe. It'd help if I hit the right thing. Okay, so I'm gonna go over what is a meal plan, where it can be used, some questions and FAQs as to how we transition from fall to spring. And there will be some additional information and resources for you. So currently, what the university started this year was all freshmen are required to be on a meal plan. It is an unlimited meal plan. What that means is they have unlimited swipes in our all-you-care-to-eat locations. We have 10 of those on campus. Those locations, we have three on North Campus, North Star, Risley, and Robert Purcell. Starting in January, Morrison Hall will be opening up. I don't know if you've seen one of the new buildings up there, but the bottom of Morrison is a 58,000 square foot dining hall. So when that opens, you will have to go. It's amazing in there. Plus, they get 400 in Big Red Bucks with their meal plan, and they get 8 guest meal swipes. Guest meal swipes mean they can take mom, dad, brother, sister to the dining hall if they would like, or a friend. Those guest meals cannot be used for themselves, and they can't purchase additional guest meals. Going into their sophomore year, this is important to know, that sophomores are going to be required also to be on a meal plan. They will have a choice of unlimited or bare traditional if they are living on North or South Campus. If they are living on West Campus, they are going to be required to be enrolled in the house meal plan. The house meal plan is an unlimited meal plan as well. Comes with 400 Big Red Bucks, comes with 8 guest meal swipes. The Bear Traditional comes with 14 meal swipes, still the 400 in Big Red Bucks, and only 4 guest meal swipes. But that is something new that the university is going to, that all freshmen and sophomore will be required to be on a meal plan. Here's Here's a look at where some of the locations are. I know it's hard to see on there. As I said, there's three on North Campus. There's one on Central Campus. That's Oak and Shields. It's in Willard Strait Hall. We have five on West Campus, and we have our Kosher Dining Hall, 104 West. Excuse me. And there's a list, again, of where they can use their meal swipes. Big Red Bucks can be used at any dining location. We have a lot of cafes, as you can see on here. We have our Baird Necessities. It's called a C store. It's like a convenience store. These funds can only be used for food purchases. So they may be in Cafe Jenny in Willard Strait, which is part of the Cornell store, but they can't purchase items in the Cornell store with their Big Red Bucks. Also to know, if they're in a C store, they can't purchase tissues or cold medicines with their Big Red Bucks as we go into the cold and flu season. Fall to spring, do their Big Red Bucks carry over? Yes, they do. Any Big Red Bucks they have that remain at the end of the fall semester will be carried over and added to the 400 that they get for the spring semester. Whatever they don't use by the end of the spring semester, they will lose. They don't carry over to another academic year. Can they cancel their meal plan for the spring? No. The only way they can cancel for the spring is if they are no longer going to be in attendance on the Ithaca campus. So if they're studying abroad, taking a leave of absence, doing an internship, doing a co-op, going to Cornell Tech, they can cancel. They will be receiving an email as we speak right now that gives them the instructions on how to cancel to avoid being billed in December. They have until December 1st to contact me to let me know that they are not going to be in attendance and need to cancel. Can they change their meal plan for the spring? If they are a freshman, no. They are on the unlimited, which means they are on the unlimited for the full academic year. If they live on West Campus, the answer is no. If they are a sophomore and they're living on South or North, they're already on unlimited or bare traditional, so no, they cannot change. You will be billed for the spring semester in December. We load the plan starting Monday so that students can have the option to change. Well, there are students that can change, but most students can't. Excuse me. And they can upgrade. If the student runs out of Big Red Bucks, you can always add more Big Red Bucks online. You would go to get.cboard.com/Cornell. You've probably already added funds via laundry, and I know there's quite a few students out there that have already added Big Red Bucks. The deadline to change or cancel the meal plan is February 9th. That is the deadline for all students. So if a student decides that they are going to leave the university, they can do at any time because it's not necessarily that. But they need to let me know if they're studying abroad, doing a co-op intern prior to February 9th. If a student is moving off of campus, I'm not used to wearing a mask. Sorry about that. I work remote, so I'm not used to wearing a mask. If a student is moving out of West Campus or they're moving off of North Campus, they will have the option to change their meal plan. They can't cancel it, but they can change it. That can be done at any time. The deadline, though, for most students is February 9th that are allowed to cancel or change. What I'm going to say next is this is really for students that are really going to go, that are going Greek. So if you have a student that's thinking about going Greek, they will have an option to change their meal plan. They can't cancel, but that deadline is February 9th. Here's some additional information. We have reusable eco boxes. Each student can get a voucher for one free one. This means they can go to an All You Care to Eat, go in, fill their box, and leave with their food. All of our All You Care to Eats have a chef on site. Our dining halls are not run by an outside source. It's all internal. Students who are having have a special dietary need can always work with our campus nutritionist. I'm gonna cough again. Michelle, they can email her, they can call her, they can set up an appointment to talk to her, and she can help them work through their dietary needs and work with a chef. We have Swipe Out Hunger, which Shakima may talk more about. Students can donate one of their guest meal swipes for another student on campus for a part of our Swipe Out Hunger program. This is for students who are feeling food insecure, that we offer this program, that they enroll, sign up, and we provide a specific number of meals for them. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to me at dining@cornell.edu. You can call my office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. I would like to say that you could come visit me or your student could, but I work totally remote, so the only option is to call or send an email. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope your travels to campus went smoothly, and I hope you and your students are doing well. My name is Shakima Clancy. I use the pronouns she, her, and hers, and I serve as the Associate Dean of Students and the Director of First Generation and Low-Income Student Support. The Dean of Students Office is comprised of three areas. It's comprised of our Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards, which manages student behavior on and off campus. It's the Care and Crisis Services team, who works with students in distress. And then it's our Diversity and Inclusion team, which I'll talk with you about today. Within our Dean of Students Diversity and Inclusion portfolio, we have three resource centers: the Asian and Asian Americans Resource Center, our LGBT Resource Center, and our Women's Resource Center. I oversee first generation and low income student support and supervise staff who are working with our undocumented and DACA student support population, multicultural student leadership and empowerment, and our Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making. So as I think about what are some tips and strategies that can help your student manage their finances and also learn life skills that are gonna prepare them for success during their time here at Cornell as well as in the future. It's extremely important and beneficial for students to take advantage of campus resources. We have found that our most successful students at Cornell are the students who take advantage of campus resources. That includes tutoring or the writing center or the TACCON center or meeting with their professors. So definitely get your students in the habit of working with and utilizing campus resources. Sometimes there may be instances where a student is not doing well academically or their mental health is not doing well, or they're struggling to make friends or connect with others. Encouraging your students to step outside of their comfort zone and take advantage of their resources is the best way in which you can support your student. It's important to avoid, when you think about finances and trying to make the most of limited funds, it's important to avoid unnecessary fees and fines. That can be a parking fee, that can be a lost key for their residence hall, that can be a late library fine. So really try to minimize those fines and fees. As a parent myself, I know it's extremely important to talk with my child and prepare them to develop their financial literacy skills. And so as the opportunity presents itself, take the time to talk with your student about their bill. Take the time to talk with them about the investment that you're making in them in order to help them obtain this Cornell degree. So they know what's at stake and they know what's involved, and also they can hopefully recognize the value of their education and the ways in which you've invested in them. As my colleague alluded to, financial emergencies, oftentimes they're unexpected and they pop up, right? So preparing your student for situations where they have access to resources to mitigate or deal with that emergency is extremely important. We know financial stress could be a huge impact on a student's academic success as well as their mental health and wellness. So the best that we can do to minimize the stress associated with financial emergencies is extremely beneficial for our students. As my colleague Jennifer talked about, there are several opportunities for students to work on campus. In addition to the financial resources that come with working on campus, again, it's another way in which students can develop important life skills. That may be time management, it may be working on a team and solving complex issues. And so if students have the opportunity to work on campus, that's extremely important, it's extremely beneficial. And there are still jobs on campus that students could take advantage of right now. We know some students in their first semester, they're a little reluctant to get involved with campus employment because they want to make sure that they can handle the academic demands of their coursework, and that makes sense, that's perfectly okay. But it is important to know there are opportunities for students to find jobs on campus even in the spring semester. They'll just have to visit the student employment website, upload a resume, see what opportunities there are available, and go ahead and apply. I think the winter break is a great time to do that so they can focus on some of those skills. And then also, it's also a great time to visit our Career Services Center, who can help your student with their resume and looking for jobs on and off campus. Some of the campus resources that I would like to highlight, and there are several, and there are many in the various colleges and schools. So this is just a small sampling of some of the resources that we have available to support our students at Cornell. As my colleague Cameron mentioned, I oversee the Swipe Up Hunger program in collaboration with my colleagues in Dining Services. And although our first year students are required to have a meal plan, and so this won't necessarily apply to them, I think it's important that you know that this resource exists because food insecurity is an issue that impacts college-age students. And the ways in which our current students could help support one another, as Cameron mentioned, all of our students who have meal plans, they have guest meals. And if for some reason a student finds they're not going to use the guest meals, they can donate those guest meals to the Swipe Up Hunger program. And in order to do so, all the students have to do is email Cornell Dining to donate, to say, my name is this, and this is my net ID, and I would like to donate one of my guest meals to help support another student. The Access Fund is a resource that my office manages. It's primarily intended to provide financial support for students who have high demonstrated financial need. And this resource can help students, primarily those who come from warmer climates, to get adequate winter coat and winter boots to get ready for the Ithaca winters. We also help with professional attire. And then we also provide support for emergency, medical, dental, and vision related expenses. And the Access Fund, as well as the Swipe on Hunger, students can learn more and or apply for these resources via my office website, First Generation and Low Income Student Support. If they were to search for that on the Cornell website, they'll see both of those applications. We also have several resources, as well as the Cornell Emergency Fund, the Latino Studies Program Emergency Fund, and then also separate from financial resources, wanted to highlight in each college or school that your students are part of, so if they're in arts and sciences, if they're in architecture, art and planning, if they're in human ecology, each college and school has a student services office. Again, that's another resource that your students should become familiar with. In those spaces, they can learn about career services, they can find opportunity to get connected with alumni, they can find opportunities to engage in transformative experiences, i.e. study abroad, undergraduate research, or even volunteering. And so those are resources that students should take advantage of and become familiar with. Our Learning Strategy Center offers academic skills and workshops for our students. Again, our most successful students are the students who take advantage of these resources. So if time management, if you find that you're still the one calling your student and reminding them of a class or a test or a paper assignment, maybe they should visit the Learning Strategy Center to learn some time management skills in order to help them navigate various deadlines and manage their priorities as well. They also have a variety of workshops on how to read a textbook, how to write a paper, how to interact with your professor. So again, really trying to introduce students to skills and resources in order to help them be successful. Tutoring on campus is free. We have hundreds of tutors on campus, and then we also have various study groups. Again, so encouraging a student to take advantage of those resources. Our counseling and psychological services is a great resource designed to provide students with support related to mental health issues. We also have group counseling sessions. We also encourage students to engage in meditation or going for a walk or doing things that make them to manage their stress, to manage their anxiety. And anything that you can help, anything that you can do to help your student think about their own mental health and wellness is extremely beneficial. And then last but not least, the other resource I wanted to highlight is the Office of Student Disability Services. So if your student has not taken advantage of that resource and they're not registered, I would encourage them to do so. Again, these resources are designed in order to help students successfully navigate Cornell academically, as well as take advantage of all of the resources that we have designed to help them be personally and academically successful. On the last slide, I provided my contact information, and again, I'm so glad to see you all here, and I hope the rest of your time at Cornell goes smoothly. Thank you.
Thank you so much to all of our presenters today. I know a few of you mentioned you might have some individual questions, so our presenters will stay around for a few minutes. If you would like to ask them any individual questions, certainly feel free to do so. But thank you so much for joining us for the Money Matters session, and we will have our health and well-being session beginning here at 4 o'clock. Have a wonderful afternoon.